Sign up to The Economist for in-depth curated expert analysis of world events and topics ranging from business and culture to science and technology. You'll get the weekly digital edition, online-only articles, curated newsletters on politics, the markets, science, culture and China, and full access to The Economist Podcast Plus. The Economist is independent journalism for independent thinking. Go to economist.com and get your first month free.
This is The Gerry Callahan Show.
Well, it was 3 years ago, May 2021, when John Cena, world famous wrestler and actor and humanitarian, a guy I always liked, even though I hate wrestling, because he holds the Guinness Book of Records record for granting the most wishes to kids through Make-A-Wish. Very charitable guy, very well-liked guy, until May 2021, when John Cena went on tour promoting Fast and Furious 9, one of the classics. It's amazing. Car chases, lots of car chases. So he's promoting this movie around the world, and he goes on a TV station in Taiwan, and he announces that Taiwan will be the first country to see Fast and Furious 9. Sounds benign. Sounds like what you do when you're promoting your movie. Well, John Cena stepped in it that day because China, which is a really big market for American movies, didn't like that. They don't consider Taiwan a country. And we'll soon find out that when they move in to try to reclaim Taiwan. Well, he apparently got some backlash, criticism from China, from that market, which may have threatened to ban the movie. And days later, John Cena delivers an apology, not just any old apology for offending China. He apologizes in Mandarin. Yes, in their language. We played this. We talked about it. It was, to this point, the most humiliating apology from a celebrity anyone has ever seen. It still might be number one, but let's play a little in case people forget just how pathetic this weak squish of a man turned out to be after China was upset that he said the word Taiwan, that he called Taiwan, which is a country. Let's listen for a little bit.
你好，中国，这是焦西呢。我必须说，现在，在速度与激情中，我做很多采访，很多。
I had many interviews. He says, in one of them,
有一个
I made a mistake.
所有人问我，如果我可以用中文。 速度与激情中人给我很多资讯 information， 所以很多采访，很多 information， 我必须说现在就是很，我更尊重，
I love and respect China.
I'm
so sorry for my mistake.
对不起,
oh,
很抱歉,
God, this, I forgot how painful this is.
It's really bad.
I
love and respect China, he says again.
不好意思,
I'm sorry. Oh, stop. I can't watch anymore. This was so embarrassing. This is a guy known for, you know, being a tough guy, being an incredible physical specimen. Hell, he took all his clothes off at the Oscars to show everyone his physique. He's amazing. And again, he's a good heart. He's a local guy. I still have a soft spot for him. But God, this left a mark. This was humiliating on every level. And I don't think he'll ever completely recover from it. Well, it was the most humiliating apology from a celebrity, in my opinion, until last night. If you missed this, it was posted last night late, and I assume everyone will get to see it. We got the whole thing. Stephen A. Smith, another tough guy, a guy who prides himself on never backing down, on standing by his words, on having unfiltered opinions on everything. Stephen A. Smith bowed to the mob last night like no one I'd ever seen. This, again, is so pathetic, so humiliating. To recap, Stephen A. Smith went on with Sean Hannity last week. He's done that many times. He's been on with Hannity. He's been on with Mark Levin. He tries to play both sides of the fence, even though he's really opinionated and he has lots of thoughts on everything. I mean, that's his reputation, or at least it was, till last night. We'll play the clip from Hannity, which I saw and didn't think anything of. This is what Stephen A. does. He tries to occasionally go against the grain. He tries to have, you know, a bold take on certain things. And he goes on Hannity to talk about Trump's popularity in the black community, which is a story. It's a big deal. Trump got, I believe, 4 or 5% of the black vote in 2020. And some polls have him like in the mid-20s, a major, significant jump in the black community for obvious reasons. Number one being Joe Biden is incompetent and corrupt, and people have had enough. They don't like an open border. It's amazing. Black people don't like a wide open border where gang members and drug dealers and terrorists are flowing over the border and overwhelming their cities. We've seen the videos from Chicago and New York and other cities, Denver, where people say, what about us? Where black people go to city hall, city council meetings in MAGA hats and scream about the injustice of overwhelming their schools and hospitals and with illegal aliens. Funny, they don't like that. You know, it's weird. But anyway, it's led to a big jump for Trump in the black community, in the Hispanic community, with young voters, with everybody. Everybody. Nobody likes what Joe Biden has done. Nobody likes Joe Biden. And Stephen A. Smith makes that point to Sean Hannity. We'll play a little bit of this, and then we'll get to last night when Stephen A. just completely cowered to the mob, which wasn't happy. Listen, well, we'll get to the people he apologized to, but let's listen to him with Hannity last week. Go ahead.
But I got to tell you something. As much as people may have been abhorred by Donald Trump's statement weeks ago, talking about how black folks, he's hearing that black folks find him relatable because what he's going through is similar to what black Americans have gone through. He wasn't lying. He was telling the truth. When you see the law enforcement, the court system and everything else being exercised against him, it is something that black folks throughout this nation can relate to with some of our historic, iconic figures. We've seen that happen throughout society. So no matter what race, what ethnicity you may emanate from, we relate to you when you're suffering like that because we know we have. And that's what he articulated.
See, he's stating the obvious, right? People, we've seen interviews on the street with black people in New York during this trial, during this complete farce of a trial, this absurdity that's unfolding in New York. And we'll get to the latest on that. But he's stating the obvious. People see it and they say this is wrong. Black people, white people, Hispanic men, women, everybody knows that Joe Biden is using the system, the legal system, to try to imprison his opponent. It's unfolding as we speak. So he's stating the obvious. I saw it. I heard it. I didn't think anything of it. It was just Stephen A. being Stephen A. He's not an analyst. He's not a commentator. He's an actor. What he does is put on performances. He tries to use words that don't always fit. And he tries to be colorful and charismatic. It's what he does. Well, that was a step too far. That offended some people, as he will explain, in the black community, and they brought the hammer down. He'll tell you exactly how this went, but I was wondering how ESPN would handle this. Keith Olbermann put out a video where he demands that ESPN either silence Stephen A. or fire him. Oldman points out he can't talk about politics like this because obviously he's defending Trump. That's not allowed on ESPN. To review, ESPN has no problem with their people talking politics as long as it's the right politics. You're allowed, if you're L. Duncan, to talk about abortion for 2 minutes. But if you're Sage Steele and you have a problem with vaccine mandates, or you're proud of your biracial heritage, if you're proud of your white mother, you're gone. You're gone. Sage Steele, who was great at her job, was thrown out, fired essentially, forced to leave because she had the wrong opinions. Stephen A. generally has the right ones. So you can hate Trump, that's cool. But if you defend Trump, they bring the hammer down. And I assume this began with his bosses at ESPN, but it spread to the black community and to the NAACP. Yes, Stephen A. was pressured by the NAACP and he cowered and he surrendered. Just pathetic. Again, this just came out last night. We haven't seen all the reaction to it yet, but I'm just going to guess that he's going to get a raise and an extension. He's got a job for life at ESPN, but I don't think he ever recovers from this. It's so embarrassing. It's how long is this Ironhead? 5-6 minutes.
Yeah.
We'll play it. We'll play much of it. Cause it is just mind blowing how weak this man turns out to be, how weak and how fraudulent. I mean, the guy we've heard for years talk about how no one tells him what to say. No one controls Stephen A. Bull. Someone controls Stephen A. He offered an unapproved opinion to Sean, and wasn't even an opinion. He's stating a fact that Trump's winning over black people, and black people, black voters, aren't happy with the way Biden is using the justice system, the Department of Justice, to go after him, to try to imprison him. We've seen we've seen this case unfold, one of many cases, which are just ridiculous. It's all about election interference. Trump is right. Everybody knows it. Doesn't matter what race you are. Every honest person. The only people defending this case are other actors like Stephen A. who perform for the camera. People like Joe Scarborough and George Stephanopoulos, who know the case is a joke, but they hate Trump, so they have to play along. But let's get to the apology, because, man, I can't believe he did this. It's one thing to say, to back down a little bit and maybe, you know, hedge your bets, maybe, you know, explain a little further that you don't really love Trump or whatever. But this is a full-throated apology to the black community, which isn't a real thing. I mean, it's different factions. There are people in the black community, as we know, who support Trump and some who hate him. There are people in the black community who support the NAACP and others who know it's just a far left, you know, race hustling outfit. But he doesn't care. He's going all in on this apology. And man, is it embarrassing. Go ahead.
I wanted to touch on something that I made news about just a few days ago. Let me say this, ladies and gentlemen. Accountability is where everything needs to begin in this world. It's something I say quite often. I certainly never hesitate to hold folks accountable when mistakes or mishaps occur. So I'm certainly not about to run from it myself. I'm fully aware that I've been in the news over the last few days, paraded all over social media as well, after comments I made during my appearance on Fox News' Hannity last week with the one and only Sean Hannity himself. And I'm fully aware of the outcry that has ensued because of it. A lot of folks in Black America seem pretty pissed at me right now, from friends and loved ones to colleagues, contemporaries, and dare I say, even the NAACP itself. Quite a few folks were put off, if not flat out offended, after my words were interpreted as associating support for Trump from the black community with all the legal issues he's facing. For that, I sincerely apologize. To be clear, my words were misconstrued. I'm stating here for the record that my words were taken out of context, misrepresenting and depicting me in a way I found every bit as insulting and disrespectful as folks in Black America evidently felt about what they thought I said. But I'll own it anyway. Because, you know, please know that I know the buck stops with me. I'm in the communication business. I've been here for 30 years, so regardless of whatever interpretation that accompanies any words coming out of my mouth, the responsibility ultimately lies with me first and foremost before anybody else. I've always felt that way. I still do. I always will. Period. Blacks who refuse to support Trump are aware of his history of issues. And we'll never forget how Trump claimed Obama, the nation's first Black president, wasn't even qualified to hold office because he was born in Kenya. Although Trump recanted the statement during his 2016 campaign run for the presidency. Yet Trump's dissenters were not the topic of discussion when I was talking to Hannity. The support he appears to be receiving in the polls was what was being discussed. Five polls, count them, five. Emerson, NBC News, Daily Goss, Akos, New York Times, and Rasmussen. All big national polls had Trump leading over the last few weeks. Plus, according to 538, recent local polls also put Trump ahead in battleground states. He's up 6 points in Michigan, Arizona, and Georgia each. Insofar as Trump gaining support in the Black community, well, how about various publications with these headlines? The Chicago Tribune.
So hold on here. So he's making the case that Trump's gaining among Black voters, which is what he was talking about. On Hannity, he tried to explain it, and he said Trump's legal troubles are relatable to Black people. I mean, we've heard it from Black people in interviews that they don't like what Biden is doing to his opponent. So essentially, he was stating facts and trying to explain why Trump has such good numbers, surprising numbers, among Black voters. So what? Here's the reaction from the NAACP to Stephen A's comments. They write, relatable, ! Show of hands, anyone in your Black family who has 88 felony charges pending, filed for bankruptcy 6 times, made an attempt to overthrow an election and our democracy, and still has the ability to fall asleep in court and dream of being POTUS? Okay, so you don't find it relatable, NAACP, radical left-wing organization. So what? What's wrong with Stephen A. having that take? Why can't Stephen A. say, yeah, in this video, why can't he just say, I stand by it? I told you what I think. I backed it up with numbers, with polls. Why does he have to apologize and promise to do better? I find this amazing that this is unfolding in real time. They pressure him to bend the knee to them, and he does it. This has to come from ESPN. There's no way that the NAACP or Al Sharpton or any other race hustling organization forced Stephen A. to do this. This has to be from his employer, and I don't think Keith Olbermann has that kind of power. He was demanding they silence him, and they did. They did. They did what Keith Olbermann demanded. Just and they sent their employee out there to just humiliate himself. Do they feel better now? Is this the result they wanted, to embarrass their most high profile, their highest paid employee? This is what they wanted? Well, they got it. Well, I think Stephen A. is trying to save face a little bit by trying to explain that Trump is indeed doing well, doing surprisingly well among Black voters. So why is he apologizing? Why does he have to do this? It's incredible how the double standard here is amazing. This guy, they could have just said, Stephen A., we disagree. You know, we don't think that people in the Black community are relating to Trump as he sits in court. And he could say, I do. You don't? I do. Fine. Move on. Not enough. They demanded, they forced him to do this. What? Let's watch a little bit more.
This time, Trump really does seem to be making black voter inroads. Why? The Washington Post. Voters of color are shifting right. Are Democrats doomed? How about the New York Times? As black voters drift to Trump, Biden's allies say they have work to do. Axios wrote, big Biden bummer. New York Times Siena poll shows gaps with key demographic groups. Wall Street Journal, Biden loses support among black men. The Hill, Biden losing support among black voters in swing states. Colon, survey. Al Jazeera, why are black voters backing Donald Trump in record numbers? And CBS News, black voter support for Trump up from 4% to 23% poll finds. Why did I say all of that? Because I want to show you, I didn't just open my mouth.
Get off my back.
I listened, and I've seen a momentum shift, as we all have. Anywhere I appear, no matter my subjectivity relating to what I feel, is still going to be based on facts being presented into the stratosphere. That is who I've always been. It is what I will always continue to be. But it's never exercised with malice in my heart and soul. What? Certainly never to insult or harm the black community, my community. My thoughts are put out there to present views I believe are pertinent, that alerts us to what's going on, what missteps may be taking place, and how, if at all, they could be corrected. I hope everyone can understand and appreciate my intent, if nothing else, as we march forward right here with the Stephen A. Smith Show. But just because my intent was harmless doesn't mean my words were harmless, and I know that. I can always do better.
Yuck.
And I'll strive to do just that every single day that I'm alive.
God.
Ew.
My words weren't harmless, and I'll strive to do better. I mean, RIP Stephen A. Smith. He's done. I mean, he's going to be on ESPN for the rest of his life, making $10 million a year. He'll be everywhere. He'll be at, you know, roundtables, TV show, whatever, his show. But when someone says, I'll strive to do better, because I dared to offer up a unpopular, unapproved opinion, every time you see him now, you know that he's under pressure. Every time you see him, you know he has the voice in the back of his head from his bosses at ESPN and from the people at the NAACP and maybe even Keith Olbermann. You're not going to get unvarnished, unfiltered opinions from Stephen A. anymore. This is a man who's been emasculated by his bosses for daring to say something unapproved, something they didn't like, to say, yeah, Trump's doing well among black voters, and here's why. That's all he did. That's all he did. They make it sound like he said some, I don't know, racial slur or, you know, said, talked about someone's personal life. All he did was say, Trump's doing well among the black community. Here's why I think he is. This is incredible, an incredible moment, what you just saw, what you just heard. These are people who don't want their employees to be honest, to offer an honest opinion, because this is the guy, this is the face of ESPN, who's known as, you know, a straight shooter, a guy who can't be controlled. Well, that's a lie. He can be controlled. He is controlled. And this is proof. This is sad. And we got 6 months more of election talk when Stephen A. is out there and he's on different shows and he's showing up on Hannity or Mark Levin or wherever, CNN. And we know he's there to repeat the company line because he fell in line. They demanded he take a knee and fall in line, and he did. What a sad day. I would expect this from, you know, most commentators, most people you see on ESPN or any in any network, ABC, CBS, CNN, not from him. This is so disappointing. It's so sad. And you can just step back, John Cena. We have a new face of just cowardice, corporate cowardice. That's what this is. And, you know, here's where you got to come. You got to, I guess you got to go to, you know, podcasts now. People who aren't pressured by corporate bosses to toe the line. That's what you're going to get from Stephen A., from ESPN, and from most of the mainstream media outlets. We'll get to the lies they continue to tell about Donald Trump and Joe Biden, who made an appearance yesterday, a campaign stop. The truest thing Trump has said during this trial, and he said it yesterday, is how unfair it is that he can't campaign and Joe Biden can. And then he said, maybe that's a good thing for me, because Joe Biden is incapable of campaigning. And that was never better illustrated than yesterday in Tampa. We got the highlights, and man, this was just uncomfortable. He's going to have to do this for 6 more months, and he can't do it. He can't campaign. He can't speak. It's uncomfortable to watch. We got that. And we're going to tell you what the police and the people who support Israel, what they did to Ilhan Omar's daughter, you know, the homeless, hungry kid who's just wandering the streets of New York without shoes. Man, I thought this thing had escalated, this dispute between Hamas supporters and Israel supporters. I didn't know the lengths to which they've gone. It is scary. We'll hear from her too, but first.
Excuse me.
Field of Greens is the healthiest thing I do every day, and I want you on this journey with me. It's literally one scoop a day. That's it. Tastes great. I like the raspberry lemonade flavor, and it has completely improved my life. This is nutrition the way nature intended. You know what I do? I replace my afternoon cup of coffee, which I really don't need, with Field of Greens. Get way more energy throughout the day, sleeping better throughout the night, healthier hair, healthier skin. It helps with digestion. My stomach feels better, feeling better and healthier overall. Field of Greens is radically different. Each organic fruit and vegetable was medically chosen to support heart and vital organ health. I trust Field of Greens to keep me healthy, and you can too. I promise you're going to love this product, but if for any reason you don't, they will give you 100% money back. I got you 15% off your first order, plus free rush shipping. Visit fieldofgreens.com and use promo code Jerry. That's promo code G-E-R-R-Y at fieldofgreens.com. fieldofgreens.com. So Donald Trump was sitting in a courtroom, perhaps nodding off. I don't blame him. He was admonished again for speaking, for violating the gag order. Today, we may hear today from Judge Mershon, staunch Biden supporter, because the prosecution wants Trump punished for violating the gag order. Trump's not allowed to speak. Everyone else can speak. Michael Cohen can do a podcast. He can go on CNN. He can say anything he wants about Donald Trump, but Trump can't speak. He continues to speak anyway. He's daring Mershon to arrest him, to put him in jail, because he knows that will backfire like everything else Biden's surrogates in this New York courtroom have done. But while Trump was tied up in court in New York, Joe Biden once again was flaunting this double standard, and he headed to Florida, to Tampa, to campaign. I can just tell you right now, that will be Joe Biden's last appearance in Florida. The Democrats will spend no money. They'll run no ads in Florida. Florida is lost. He can't win Florida, fortunately, because I'm worried about Pennsylvania. But he makes a campaign appearance, and it was just embarrassing. We're looking at the room he showed up in with his supporters. There is literally, I don't know, 15, 20 people there for the president of the United States. Mm-hmm. I think I've ridden on elevators with more people than showed up to hear from the president. This is on the heels of appearing at 2 convenience stores in Pennsylvania when nobody showed up. Nobody. I mean, they literally, it was Joe Biden and the employees at Wawa. That was it. And that's when he, and then he went to Sheetz, you know, just before we found out he was suing Sheetz for not hiring criminals. Are they connected? Probably, because everything Joe Biden does is the result of him using his power in the DO, in the federal government to go after his enemies. So Sheetz has got a price to pay because he had that embarrassing appearance when he struggled to order a milkshake. But this was organized. This was a room where you're supposed to have your supporters there cheering for you, laughing at your jokes. And it was just, how did they not just drag people off the street and say, you want to come in and meet the president? Maybe they did, and people just said, no, I'm good. So he shows up, and he, as usual, slurring, lying, which is what he does. I will never stop being amazed at this man's inclination to tell lies. Obviously, he lies like he breathes, but he tells the same ones over and over again. They get debunked. They get called out. Not by everybody, certainly not by CNN. And he just says them over again. If you missed it yesterday, and we have the sound, he said he was a civil rights activist in high school. I mean, that's a lie. He's even admitted in the past that he didn't march. He didn't wasn't active in the civil rights movement. But, you know, times have changed. 50 years later, he's Nelson Mandela. But my favorite lie, it is just... I don't even understand how someone doesn't tell him, stop saying that, Joe. Everybody knows it's not true. Maybe they do, and he just can't process it in his decaying brain. But he said yesterday that he used to drive an 18-wheeler, which has been debunked over and over again, and he just keeps saying it. We have the lowlights of this appearance. Do we just have him standing there and looking lost in front of this pathetic, small gathering of just, it looks like a COVID appearance. You know, when they had circles on the floor?
Yeah.
It looks like. This, Trump went to a bodega in Harlem and got hundreds of people chanting and cheering and taking selfies. He can't get this when they have a thing planned in advance. Anybody to show up? Let's watch.
Moment. And so what are we Florida Democrats going to do in 2024? We are going to vote. We are going to take back Florida, and we're going to make sure that the true champion for reproductive health care, and not just reproductive health care, but every issue that is.
There's four people in there.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. I count 10.
I think you're right.
10. And then you have all these, you know, campaign, whatever, staffers and aides who are making sure, you know, he doesn't wander off in the middle of this. But they give him the mic. First of all, she, that's Nikki Fried, this Democrat activist in Florida, I think. She starts talking about abortion. Joe Biden blesses himself. He does the sign of the cross. Talking about abortion again. I mean, there's no bigger lie than Joe Biden's a devout Catholic. There's no such thing as a devout Catholic who supports third trimester abortion, which is what he does. Abortion on demand, a devout Catholic who infiltrates Catholic churches, who arrests people for praying outside abortion clinics. There's no such thing. And he's a fraud. But anyway, we know that. But they must be these aides over on the side. They just hold their breath when the president of the United States takes the microphone in a campaign event for 5 minutes. Let's watch.
Besides, I used to drive an 18-wheeler. You know what I did? That's exactly right.
I used to drive an 18-wheeler. I mean, if this were a six-year-old kid, you'd say, stop it. You didn't. Stop lying. There's no point in it. Nobody believes you. It doesn't work if nobody believes you. Just uncomfortable. Do we have anything else from yesterday's stirring?
We got some Biden slip-ups here. I don't know what you might know what he's saying here. I sure don't.
Well, I'll give it a shot.
We'll teach Donald Trump and extreme MAGA Republicans a valuable lesson. Don't mess with the movement of America.
Don't mess, Donald. You're on notice. Don't mess with the blah, 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 blah. And of course, he said one truthful thing.
Yes, he did.
Yes, one truthful thing yesterday in Florida.
Shout out to Dave B on Twitter.
It's a keeper. Go ahead.
In a sense, I don't know why we're surprised by Trump. How many times does he have to prove we can't be trusted?
How many times do we have to prove we can't be trusted? I guess that would be a Freudian slip. But the real campaign work was not done in Florida. By the way, he got right back on the plane, went up the little baby steps, and went back to Washington. That was it. All the way to Florida for that. I guess he raised money, but man, that was uncomfortable. And he won't be doing that again, at least not in Florida. He will stick to Pennsylvania, where he will probably win. Sadly, I can get to that. But Trump, meanwhile, is tied up in court. And I had an idea last night, and I like it. You know, I threw it out there, and people thought it was. He can't speak about the case. When he speaks now, he deliberately talks about issues, or he reads stories that other people wrote about the case to carefully, not in his mind, you know, just blatantly violate the gag order. So he has a strategy where he talks about, you know, Biden, he talks about politics and issues about anti-Semitism. And then he reads from some printouts, some copies of stories. Why couldn't he just go into court, into the lobby, where he shows up every day with other people and let them speak? What would be the flaw if he stood there where he had other people? I suggested J.D. Vance, Kellyanne Conway. You could bring, you know, Tim Scott. You could bring Vivek. People who are articulate, who are smart, who make the case for Trump all the time on cable news. Just stand there silently while they do the speaking. Wouldn't that be a great middle finger to Mershon? Wouldn't that be great theater? People would be forced to cover it, and they could say exactly what he's thinking. Now, that would probably, under obviously the, you know, Joe Biden rules, that would probably be a violation, but you could get away with it for at least one day. And if they said you can't do that in the courtroom, do it on the sidewalk. Do it outside the courtroom. Stand there, smile or whatever, cover your mouth, and let J.D. Vance make your case for you. Why not? Would that be, would they get arrest J.D. Vance or Kellyanne Conway? The other thing, before we move on, there's a big event tomorrow, April 25th, 6:30 at Columbia. The pro-Israeli side is holding this big event. Do you have that little flyer I tweeted out? Explain to me, if you're the Trump campaign, why you don't show up here, why this isn't already on your calendar. United for Israel March, Columbia University, April 25th, 6:30. He's done in court by, I don't know, 3 or 4, maybe earlier if a juror gets a toothache. Why doesn't he just get in the limo, get in the SUV, boom, head up to Columbia and show up here? And even better, invite your good friend Bob Kraft to join you. I think Kraft likes Trump. He doesn't admit it publicly much, but he likes him. They're friends. I met Donald Trump at Bob Kraft's 40th anniversary party in Foxborough. His date was Ivanka. His daughter. It wasn't, you know, like Joe Biden thing. I don't think they showered together, but they were there together. And they've been friends for years. He pointed out, Kraft did, that when his wife died, Trump would call him every day to check on him. They're friends. Really, they are friends. So show up. You can, if you're Kraft, you don't have to say it's all about the election. You could say it's about protecting Jewish kids on the Columbia campus. It would be powerful. It'd be a great visual. And let's be honest, Bob, you got nothing to lose at this point. You know, you've, You're worth billions. Your legacy is secure. This would be unpopular with many of your liberal supporters, but so what? Kids on the campus that you fund, Jewish kids, are being attacked. They're yelling at them to go back to Poland. They're cheering for Hamas. This is a big moment. Bob Kraft should be there. Donald Trump should be there. Will he be? I don't know. All right. Before we move on, I have to do this. I know I did it yesterday. I know I've done it a few times. But this case in New York is really illuminating the just flat-out corruption, the dishonesty of the mainstream media. They're all pretending. They're camped out outside the courtroom pretending that it's legit, you know, that this is a real case, that it's not political lawfare. And we played you a clip from CNN yesterday of Dana Bash just losing it because Kristi Noem pointed out that Joe Biden is running this whole thing. To me, that's irrefutable at this point. We know who gave the opening statement, Matt Colangelo, the former number three guy in Joe Biden's DOJ. He was a big deal in Washington, in the DOJ, working for Merrick Garland. He left that job to become a local prosecutor for one reason, to get Trump. That's this guy's whole life revolves around getting Trump. So he's now not just working for Alvin Bragg as a lowly line prosecutor. He's delivering the opening statement. He's leading the prosecution. Biden's guy. That's a fact. That we saw it. He did it. He delivered the opening statement. They have an alleged fact checker on CNN, Oliver Darcy. He used to be a conservative, and now he's a liberal. Now he's a CNN propagandist. After Colangelo gave the opening statement, again, Biden's guy, after we saw it in the flesh, Biden's guy doing the opening statement, laying out the case, this was a CNN fact checker going on the air and claiming Donald Trump is lying when he says Biden is involved. At what point do they admit Trump's right and they're wrong and Biden is leading this effort? Play this. It's almost too hard to believe.
The gag order here. What's true and what's not true?
Yeah, Caitlin, he perpetually makes the gag order sound like it gags him more than it actually does. So I don't know what was in those specific articles, but he said he had an article saying this case is a sham. It shouldn't have been brought. And he's not sure if he could even say that. Well, he can say that. That is clearly not prohibited by the gag order. I have the text of the gag order in front of me. What it does, Caitlin, is bar him from three specific kinds of speech. Number one is speaking publicly or directly others to speak publicly about known or reasonably foreseeable witnesses in the case, specifically about their potential participation in the case. Number two is speaking publicly, directing others to speak publicly about prosecutors other than DA Bragg, staff members in Bragg's office and the court, and the family members of prosecutors, staff members of the court. And it qualifies that if those statements are made with the intent to materially interfere with the case. And then number three, he's barred from speaking publicly about or directing others to speak publicly about jurors or prospective jurors. So if he just wants to say this case is a sham, as he has pretty much every time he's appeared before those cameras, he's perfectly allowed to. He's not barred. And I'll just add, Caitlin, I've heard you fact check this, others on our team fact check this. He said this case is all Biden. There is zero, precisely zero evidence that President Biden had anything to do with bringing, orchestrating, running this case. So he says that pretty much every time. It's completely out of thin air.
Completely out of thin air. By the way, he says that he can, the gag order is limited. He can't speak about Michael Cohen, their lead witness who speaks every day about Trump. He wants to talk about Cohen. He can't. He can't talk about the fact that the judge is a Biden voter, that the judge's daughter is a big Democrat operative who has raised $93 million for Democrats on this case. He's not allowed to say that. I wouldn't say this gag order is limited. And by the way, what he says is within the bounds of, you know, is not violating the gag order, they'll just change the rules. That's what they'll do. But that is amazing. A CNN guy says it's out of thin air. No evidence that Biden is involved when Biden's number three guy left the Department of Justice, went to New York, and is now leading the case. It's amazing. All they do is lie. These people are just despicable. They're pretending the case is real. They're lying. They're gaslighting daily and praying Trump gets convicted. And then they'll pretend it's real, that he deserved to be convicted and belongs in jail, which is the goal. They are all working for the Biden campaign. All right. We got to move. We got to get to, do we have time? Yes, we got time. We got to get to Ilhan Omar's daughter. You know, I think I'm changing my tune. I thought she deserved to be arrested. I thought she was a despicable anti-Semite. But I didn't realize what they did to poor, whatever her name is, Hersey. This is hilarious. And we're going to introduce you to one of the people you are paying the debts for. One of the people who has a massive student debt to pay, and he doesn't have to pay it anymore. You do.
Excuse me.
Is it too late for a New Year's resolution? Well, let me tell you, it doesn't matter. 2024 is the year you will stop your hair from premature thinning, and you'll achieve your goal quickly and for years to come. The new Provia Hair Thinning Therapy from Chamonix is here, and it works wonders for follicle health and thinning hair. The Provia secret is a powerful natural ingredient called Procapil that effectively targets the three main causes of premature hair thinning and loss. By supporting healthy scalp circulation, the delivery of nourishing nutrients, and healthy hair follicle anchoring to your scalp, Provia guarantees more hair on your head and less in the shower. Effective for men and women of any age and safe for colored, treated, and styled hair, it's that easy. And new customers save over 50% plus shipping on Provia's introductory package at proviahair.com/Callahan. Every package includes a 60-day supply of Provia serum plus Provia super concentrate for faster and more noticeable results. You get Provia's Perfect Beard Treatment or Provia Eyelash Enhancing Serum as your exclusive free gift at checkout. Don't wait. Your full, thick hair starts today. Provia works, or you get 100% of your money back. Order now and save an extra 10% at proviahair.com/Callahan. That's proviahair.com/Callahan. All right, we told you about Isra Hersey. She's the daughter of Ilhan Omar, who was arrested protesting for Hamas, supporting terrorists. By the way, if you think this is a new thing for Ilhan Omar's daughter, she tweeted her support for Hamas, I believe, on October 8th. October 8th. So she celebrated the slaughter of 1,200 innocent Israelis. She's cool with that. She just hates Jews, just like her mother. She hates Jews. She hates America. And when she got arrested, Barnard College suspended her, as they should. She was warned. She did it anyway. She effed around and found out. She claimed she was hungry and homeless because they wouldn't let her in her dorm and they wouldn't let her in the cafeteria. They gave her prepackaged meals, and I guess she didn't like them. And she's the daughter of a congresswoman who apparently can't find a bed in New York or a hot meal. So, you know, she's a little drama queen, but it was hilarious listening to her talk about what they did to her. We're talking about those totally outnumbered supporters of Israel who dared to go out there and support our ally, maybe hold an Israeli Israel flag. Those people, they're the enemy. And she wants you to know it's all their fault. Let's listen.
Do other student groups have this kind of target on their back, or do you feel that you are being targeted because of the fact that it is in solidarity with Palestinians and against what Israel is doing to Palestinians?
Oh, this is 100% targeted. Every single protest that we have, there's a group of counter-protesters that bring all of their items, their flags and things like that, and they're not seen as having unsanctioned protests or really receive the kind of disciplinary warnings that many of our fellow organizers receive just for being seen at these protests. And so there is definitely some hypocrisy here, especially you can kind of see it with the students that were sprayed us with the chemical weapons and the fact that there's no public information as to what happened to them, but rather the university is actively discussing what is happening to the students here and making it a whole public spectacle rather than when we haven't done anything to physically harm students, whereas those that sprayed those chemical weapons physically harmed students.
Wow. Did you know that? Chemical weapons. The pro-Israeli supporters are using chemical weapons
Wow.
Weapons of mass destruction. I love this story so much. These people, the pro-Hamas protesters, demonstrators, they think because, and they have good reason to think that, there will be no price to pay, no repercussions at all. They know the history here. They know, you know, the George Floyd rioters, the climate change kooks. They know they pay no price. They know the system is on their side. And when they actually get arrested, and I guarantee you, she was probably warned 10 times, if you continue to do that, you're going to get arrested. She got arrested. And now she complains that she's hungry, homeless, and she got attacked with chemical weapons. I've watched a lot of video from New York, from Columbia, from NYU. The pro-Israel demonstrators, they got balls, man. These people have real courage because they are outnumbered 1,000 to 1, and they know that they can't do the same thing. They can't attack cops. They can't occupy spaces, and they can't hit cops with chairs, which is what one of the demonstrators at NYU did. And this woman, this little child of privilege, this little brat, is just, she can't believe she actually has to pay a price for the crime she committed. I hope they never let her back into Barnard College, but I have my doubts. Right, quickly, if I have time here. We've talked a lot about the student loan cancellation. In fact, I told you the other day, which is remarkable, that the latest tranche of billions that Joe Biden gave to deadbeats who won't pay their loans, who won't pay their bills, the average income was over $300,000. 57% of them have graduate degrees. Many of them are doctors and lawyers and professors, and you and me and the guy delivering your package or filling the potholes outside your house, he's paying for it. So the people who work, who didn't take out loans they couldn't afford, who did the right thing, have to pay the bills for these bums, these freeloaders who just don't want to pay their own bills. It's disgraceful. I think it's going to backfire, by the way. I know he's trying to buy votes of young people. I know he's defying the Supreme Court and trying to influence these brain dead losers who just won't pay their bills. I don't think the average American, if they see and they meet Joel here, are going to be so enthusiastic about student loan forgiveness. But Jesse Waters last night introduced us to Joel. Joel is a 49-year-old violinist who went to college to study music in New York City for 9 years. I think this is true. I think this is real. He had $250,000 in student debt, and Joe Biden wiped that out. I shouldn't say wiped it out. Transferred it to you, Ironhead, to me, to the guy putting the roof on your house, is now paying for this lazy deadbeat who just didn't want to pay his bills. I think I have that right. Let's listen to Jesse's report for a bit here. Go ahead.
Meet Joel. He's a 49-year-old musician from New York City. He spent 9 years studying music in college, undergrad and a master's degree. But when he got out, he realized playing the fiddle doesn't pay the bills. According to Business Insider, Joel racked up some serious student debt and realized he had a difficult choice to make. He, quote, grew to realize that the only way he could make a significant dent in his student loans was by switching careers. He didn't want to do that because he loved working in music. So he decided to keep his larger student loan in forbearance. So he kept on jamming while his debt racked up tons of interest. Well, that was until this past Feb when got an email from the White House letting him know that the $250,000 bill he'd racked up went poof. Who paid for it? You did. You're welcome, Joel. Life-changing.
Joel should be a campaign ad today from the Trump campaign. Maybe he will be. Joel, as Jesse Waters explains, is now studying meditation and yoga in India. So he's almost 50. And he refuses to get a job. He just wants to play the violin and do yoga. And you have to pick up the tab. Someone explain. Ayanna Pressley, Liz Warren, they're big into student forgiveness, debt forgiveness. Explain to me how this is fair and just. All they care about, Ayanna Pressley, all she cares about is justice, economic, climate justice, racial justice. How is this justice? How is this fair? Can someone explain to me how working people who didn't go to college or went to state school or commuted or went in the military have to pay for this bum who just wants to play the violin and racked up 250 grand? It's all one big scam. Tell me why the colleges aren't on the hook for some of this. Why the, I should say the banks, but it's not the banks, it's the government. Obama took over the student loan racket and knew that this would someday happen, that they would forgive, wipe out the debt for bums like this. And he's not the only one. There are many. Their faces should be on a campaign ad today for Donald Trump. It's one of the great scams, one of the great injustices. And again, defying the Supreme Court, which I've been told is a bad thing, but it's okay because Joel, he doesn't want to get a real job. Just disgraceful. But anyway, we will leave it there for today. We'll be watching the Trump trial. We'll be ready for them to handcuff, shackle the president and take him away because he sure as hell ain't following the gag order. But that'll be interesting. That'll be wild. But we'll leave it there for today. Thanks, Ironhead. Thanks to everyone for listening. I'm Jerry Callahan. This is The Callahan Show, and we'll do it again tomorrow.
But I'm going to go to bed.